Open your Bibles to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. I want to talk to you tonight on the subject, blessings of justification. By the way, Brother Roberts got my message from last Wednesday about angels on the then Sunday morning and Sunday night services. He's got both them on the website. I see we broke over the 2,000 mark, Brother Robert. We're in the 2000s now on our hits on our website. We're excited about that. We're waiting for a day someone writes to us and say they got saved by hearing one of the messages. Won't that be exciting? One of the Filipinos listened to that, What's Good About Hell. He ordered 10 CDs on What's Good About Hell. We're excited about what the Lord can do with that website. The whole world, we can reach the whole world through that website. Turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 5. Boy, last night I preached about the blood. Man, we had a tremendous time on the blood of Christ last night. I had me a fit preaching, and just a tremendous time. I might even preach about the blood this Sunday. We'll see. And three things you want to stand on forever. The book, God's Bible, the redeeming blood of Christ, and the precious return of Christ. The book, the blood, and the blessed return. Amen? And those three things you want to hold to. There's some things that are minor, but those are major. And you hold fast to those three things. Let's stand for the reading of God's Word. Glad you're here tonight. Look at Romans chapter 5, and we're glad to see those that visit with the Sunday came back. We're glad. Got some visitors that came back. God bless you. Good to see each one of you tonight. And look at 5:1 of Romans. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations, also knowing that tribulations worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Aren't you glad he did? For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet preventive for a good man, someone even dare to die. But God, even though no one would die for us, and even though no one could die for us, but God commended his love towards us in that while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. How very glad he died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood. There's that blood again, Brother Carl. We shall be saved from the wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And verse 11. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Atonement means men at one with God. Aren't you glad you're at one with God when you took Christ as your Savior? Father, thank you for this wonderful book of Romans. Don't think we could ever teach it enough. Don't think we could preach it enough. Five major doctrines taught in the book of Romans. Foundation doctrines. And Father, tonight I pray as we look into the great doctrine of justification, help us to be blessed in knowing all the great things you do for us. We'll praise you in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. You might be seated. Last Sunday night, I preached a message, salvation more than being saved, or justification much more than saved. And I showed you how after God saved us, we stood before God justified. How we stood before God just as though we'd never sinned. Just as though we'd never been in the lost, fallen race of Adam. And I showed you in Romans 10:13 that whosoever will may call, and whosoever will would call upon Christ, he'd save them. I showed you after you got saved, he put his Holy Spirit in us in John 14, verse 16 and 17. I showed you in Ephesians 4:30, that were sealed until the day of redemption, that were sanctified, set apart in Christ, 1 Corinthians 1:30. That God sees us already risen, already, even though we're here, He sees us risen in heavenly places, Ephesians 2:6. That He makes us saints, Ephesians 2:19. And He satisfies and supplies our need, Philippians 4:19. That He establishes and strengthens and settles us, 1 Peter 5:10. And that He gives us a surety of salvation, 1 John chapter 5, verse 11 through 13. These things are written that you might know that you have eternal life. Can anyone say amen? And so, when a person gets saved, many things take place that we don't even see right away, and we don't even realize what all the greatness that God does for us. Tonight, I want to share with you some blessings, some more blessings of justification. I'm going to look at these first. We'll take the first five verses. If we get farther than that, I'll take a few more, but we'll look at the first five verses maybe. The doctrine of justification is taught in the book of Romans from chapter 3, verse 21, all the way to 5:11. It's got three divisions. The explanation of justification, 3:21 to 3:31. Illustration of justification from 4:1 to 4:25. And then the application, justification, 5:1 to 5:11. Tonight I want to show you a few things, how justification applies to you, how it applies to me. And like the question, preacher, what do we get by being justified? What good does justification do me personally? How does it affect me? How does justification apply to me? Well, just in these first five verses, you're going to see some things, how it applies to you. And I hope it's a blessing to you. For instance, look at number one, Romans chapter 5, verse 1. One of the first blessings you read here, I think it's a major blessing. 5:1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Number one, the first blessing you get is that you have peace. When you get justified, you get peace with God. You and God are no longer at war. You're no longer subject under the wrath of God. Hold your hand there and look at, don't lose Romans. Look at John 3:36. See, when you get justified, you escape that wrath of God. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. How many see that? John 3:36. When you get justified, you escape that wrath. No wonder you get peace in heart. A lot of people worry, am I going to die and go to hell? Am I going to die in the flames of hell forever and ever and ever? Am I going to get to go to heaven when I die? Or am I gonna, see, when you get justified, you know that you're surely saved. And you know you've escaped that wrath. And by knowing you've escaped that wrath, it gives you peace. Because you're no longer tormented, Bobby, with the thought of dying and going to hell. Can anyone say amen? Praise God, the war is over for those who are justified. We are no longer subject to God's wrath and the eternal flames of fire. No, God brings us to peace. We have the peace of God. We have peace with God. By the way, not only do we have the peace with God, but we have peace of God. They're two different things. We have the peace with God that we're no longer underneath His wrath, but we also have the peace of God. Look at Philippians 4:7. Oh, this is so great. Philippians 4:7. I'll get to it here in a minute. There we go. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and mind through Christ Jesus. How many see that? You know, I no longer worry about dying and go to hell, but there's a lot of heartaches and sorrows that we go through this life. And even in the midst of those storms, He still can give us peace, can He? See, He gives us peace that we don't have the wrath, and then He gives us a peace for the walk as we go through this life. Can anyone say amen? So we have peace for our salvation, and we have peace for our stewardship. I think that's pretty special of God. Amen? So number one, the blessings of God. Go back to Romans, if you would. We have peace from God. By the way, Kyle, the world, the lost world, don't have that peace. Bobby, that's why the lost world, they're constantly reaching out, but they're never attaining. They can buy mansions, and they can buy yachts, and they can reach stardom. But they still don't have that peace. They're still miserable. Many of them end up committing suicide because they keep reaching and reaching. But that void in their heart, they never have peace. There's only one peace that can give. There's only one person can give that peace, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? And thank God for that wonderful, blessed peace that He gives His children. Then number two, Romans 5:2, we have access to the throne of God. He makes a doorway into grace for us. Look, we can come boldly. Look at verse 2. And by whom we have access by faith. How many see that? Not only do I have peace of God, but praise God, now I have access by faith unto the throne of God. I want you to look at Hebrews chapter 4. Look at Hebrews chapter 4. Look at verse 16. Let us therefore, well, look at verse 14 through 16. Seeing then we have a great high priest, well, we talked about that last night in our Romans study. Seeing then we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Verse 16, Hebrews 4. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. You know, back in the Old Testament days, Brother Bud, they had a great high priest. And only that high priest could go into holies of holies. Only he could enter in. And he had to bring the petitions for everybody else. But now we don't need that high priest. Matter of fact, I'm going to show you the scripture in a few minutes. God's made us priests and kings unto Him. And now we have direct access to the throne of God. We don't have to go through any other man. You don't have to go through the preacher. You ain't got to go through the pope. You ain't got to go through a cardinal or anything else, or a blue jay, whatever you want to call them. Listen to me. Christians have a direct access. You don't need Mary. You don't need no nun. And you don't need no Baptist bishops or anything. You know, you that are saved, you're a saint of God. You've got direct access now. Oh, see, in the Old Testament, they didn't have that direct access. Man, we've got so much more. Notice, you're in Hebrews. Turn up a couple books. Look at 1 Peter 2:9. 1 Peter 2:9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Man, Christians, listen, God's given you a direct access to the throne of God. For instance, in other words, there's a direct line to the president. Some people have a direct line to the White House. I'm going to tell you something. You got a direct line higher than the White House. You got a direct line to the throne room of God. It's an 800 number. It's free. It's a free prayer call. Amen. While you're still there, look at Revelation 1:6. Revelation 1:6, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and His Father. To Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Man, we don't have a high priest anymore. We have Jesus, our high priest, but He's made us like a priest down here now. We have access like the priest did back in the Old Testament. We have direct access to Him. Never had that till you got saved. Boy, justification does a lot for you. Gives you the peace of God. Amen. And the peace of God. And it also gives you direct access to the throne room of God. You know what's sad? Many times we don't use that. We have a direct access to the throne room of God. I wonder how many Christians today didn't even take time and go to the direct access to the throne of God. How many of us missed out on the opportunity of going up to heaven today and talking with our Father? Because we have a direct line. Oh, I know you'd be down here, but you have a direct line up there. Hello? You know, if we could make a long distance call to Hawaii or Europe, somewhere in Europe, and if we could do it for free every day, boy, we'd probably take advantage. Man, I talked to Germany today. I talked to Australia today. I talked to our missionary over there in Cambodia. Man, that was, free. I'm talking for free to one of our missionaries. We'd get excited. We ought to be more excited about, hey, I just talked to God. Way farther than those missionaries are. Are you getting the point? And so, praise God. We have peace with God, and peace of God, and we have access to the throne of God. Go back to Romans chapter 5 again. And see the third thing he gives us. Oh, I'll tell you, this is some great stuff here. I don't think people see this stuff when they read it. I think they go right over it. Then we have the hope and joy of heaven. Look at verse 2, the latter. I'll read verse 2 again. We have access, that's number 2, by faith. Number 3, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope. How many see that? Of the glory of God. But now do I have the peace of God and the peace with God, and I've got access to the throne of God. I've got the hope and joy of heaven because of justification. Never had it before I got justified. Until I got justified, Carl, I didn't have any of these. You ever think about this? Think with me. I've got the hope of heaven. I've got the hope of a brighter day. I've got the hope of a better day. Can anyone say amen? I know I'm just passing through. When I do a funeral, I always tell people, listen, we're going to see them again, those saved people. I've sat and preached a lot of Christians' funerals, and I've had to deal with their families. And one lady, one of her daughters died by a car accident. The girl made a profession of faith when she was younger. And I made a statement. It's not over yet. It's not over yet. And I just kept making that statement. It's not over yet. It's not. I said, one day you're going to see her again, because this life doesn't end. Eternity is where we really begin. And so it's not over yet. She got so taken up in the great truth of it, it's not over. She had to put it on her tombstone, right on her stone. It's not over yet. You know, I'm excited. I'm going to heaven. I know I'm going to heaven. And I'll tell you, folks, if you don't wonder sometimes if Jesus is coming soon, you better start wondering. He's coming. What I've been hearing in the news lately, it just shakes me. A few weeks ago, they were talking about, I didn't know that all our ports in America are run by foreign countries. All our ports. And then they wanted to give one of them to the Arabs who hate our guts. And now today, here they want to give them an airline. And President Bush, if I understand right, is for it. I don't know. He must have been eating too many pickles and hot dogs and peanut butter sandwiches before he went to bed or something. I don't know. I'll knock. Hey, you said he's a Republican preacher. I'm going to tell you, I told you, if no matter if it's a Republican or a Democrat, if they do wrong, I'm gonna smack their toes. I haven't got the full story on that, but I'm going to tell you, we live in scary days. I told Rosie, I said, I don't know where you could take a family to hide them. She said, we don't have to worry. Christ is our hiding place. Yeah, he is. He's our refuge in time of trouble, and he's our rock, and he's our refuge. But folks, I'm going to tell you, I don't know where America's heading. But I'll tell you one thing, I know where I'm heading. Amen. I'm heading for heaven. But you know what, Dale, before I got saved, when I was a kid on Galena Street drinking my life away, I didn't have that hope. Can I read you a scripture? 1 Corinthians 15:19 says, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are all men most miserable. See, the average man is miserable because they don't have hope after this life. They're miserable because they've got no future to look forward to. But we that are saved, man, I can't wait to get there. Jeannie, when you and Eddie get there, you're going to see Rebecca. She'll be waiting there for you. Won't that be exciting? We're going to see her. We have to go see her. Oh, I've seen pictures of her, and I've thought about her a lot. But I'm going to see her. I'm going to see my mama. Amen? Your daddy. Think about that. Folks, this whole world, this whole world's ready to flip out. Let it flip. I'm going up.
Amen.
Hey, I've got the hope of heaven. Look at me. Look at me. If I wasn't saved, I'd be terrified. How would you like to live in 2006 in a world full of evil and heartache and every kind of wicked thing that you can imagine and things that we can't think? Bobby, I hear things on TV and radio and stuff. And by the way, that internet's filthier than filth. And sometimes as rough a life I came from, I didn't even think of those things. It's beyond me. I'm glad it is, by the way. Amen?
Oh, you Christians live in a little circle.
Keep me in the circle. I don't want to get out of the bubble. Don't break my bubble. I'm waiting for Jesus to break it. Amen? Boy, Bud, I'm glad we're saved. Man, I'm looking forward to going opening day to see the arrows with you. But you know what? Beyond that, I'm looking more forward when he calls us up, Bud. Amen? I mean, that's just a temporary thing. We got something eternal to look forward to. Can you imagine why, Bobby, how Dale, most people are just miserable in their heart. They're depressed. They're discouraged. They live in dark rooms and they don't want to even look at the light of day because they have nothing to live for. Man, we Christians ought to be excited. We've got something to live for. Amen. And look, we got something to live for and to look for. And to lift up for. Amen. Can anyone say amen? And so I'm pretty excited about that. We have the peace with God. We have access to the throne of God. And we have hope and joy of heaven, which the world doesn't have. And by the way, you got those three things. You didn't get them till you got saved. When you were lost, you didn't have these. You didn't get these till you were saved. Look at the fourth thing, verse 3. We can glory in tribulations. Oh, wait. Before we do that, one last thought about the hope. Look at Romans. I had to get this in. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Look at verse 18. Man, I love this book of Romans. Hope you never get tired of me teaching it to you, preaching out of it. It's a great book. Romans 8:18, for I reckon, you see, Paul was from West Virginia. For I reckon that he's from the South somewhere, I think. For I reckon, I don't know if it was West Virginia or not, probably not, but pretty close there. For I reckon, kidding. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory. Make it glow, don't make it glory. Make it glow because we're going to shine as the brightness of the stars. glow. Say this, glow, glow. We're going to glow. We're going to be glow lights. Amen? Glory, which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to the vanity, not willing, but by reason of him who has subjected the same hope. Because the creature itself, by the way, what it's saying is the animals and the trees, they know something's going to happen. They know it. By the way, the world shake, not just the craziness in America. The polar caps are melting and things are, all these earth conditions are going out of whack. And now they're predicting it's going to be real crazy this year, even beyond last year. Look up. Jesus is coming back. Because the creature itself also be delivered from the bondage of corruption unto the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know the whole world, the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. I remember Dr. Brooke teaching this. Do you ever notice how when a lady has a baby, that baby starts coming down that, and boy, the pain and the travail, and you know that baby's coming. And as soon as that baby comes out, the pain's gone, and all the heartache and also, and the joy of that child. God says, this earth's going to have those birth pains, but when we're delivered from it, we're going to have the joy, like the lady has the joy of when they put that baby in that lady's arms after they're born. And that lady's, oh, I love my baby. It was worth it all. They sing a song, it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Amen? But look at verse 23. And not only they, the creation, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, big S, Holy Spirit, even God's Spirit, even we ourselves grown within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption. How many see that? The redemption of our body. We're going to get a brand new body, Billy. Hallelujah. It's coming someday. For we are saved, verse 24, by hope. Now, don't get that confused. We're saved by faith, but this hope is talking about the hope of the new body, seeing Christ, being delivered from this crazy world. In other words, look up here. Carl, you and I, Americans, go through all cancer and heartache and sorrow because one day we know, even though we have all this, I reckon that the suffering of this time are not worthy to be compared with the glory. And that glory, we have hope in that glory. And that hope gives us strength to keep going on. The hope of heaven, Jeannie, helps us not to quit. The hope of heaven, Brother Eddie, helps us not turn back. Can anyone say amen? That's what that hope song is. It's talking about the hope, Brother Bud, that God put in the heart because we are going. Yes, Carl. Yes, confidence. We have that, and that confidence gives us hope, gives us joy, gives us encouragement to look up, say, man, one day this is going to pass. One day we're going to be out of this crazy place. In other words, we know someday the storm's going to end. Weeping endureth during the night, but joy cometh in the morning. Amen? Okay. And so, praise God. We have that great hope. But if we hope, verse 25, for that we see not, then we do it with patience, wait for it. Say, yeah, we haven't seen it yet, Carl. But God's put it in it by His Spirit. I know it's going to happen, Miss Sue. Grandma Sue, it's going to happen. We haven't seen it yet, but it's going to. And the Spirit of God that He puts in us, Brother Leo, it bears witness. Yes, it's going to happen. And because of that, we have that great hope. It keeps you going, amen? I don't know about you, but there's been a lot of times in my life I felt like quitting. I don't know about you, but there's been a lot of times I felt like throwing the towel in. How many of you ever just felt like quitting? How many of you ever felt, say, well, what's the use? How many of you ever felt that, what's the stinking use? Poor Brother Steve Browning, trying to live for God. God ain't got nothing to do with this, but the devil will try to tell Steve. Steve had that open heart surgery, started living for God, they had to have open heart surgery. The doctors cut him too long, so it made his stomach weak. Now he went, had to go back to work. Now Brother Steve's got a hernia, and he has to have surgery the 24th of March. Just one thing after another for Sean's and Josh's daddy. But one day, Josh, your daddy's going to be taken out of this crazy place, going to get a brand new body. Ain't never got to have no more heart surgeries. Ain't going to have no more hernias. And he got to put up with those idiots at that place where he works. Amen? So I thought that was for him. Sean's already got out of there. But turn your phone off. I know it's not God calling. He already called a couple weeks, about 3 months ago. Remember that? Can you hear that? Can you hear me now? That message, can I hear me now? So anyways, what I want you to see is this. We have hope. I never had that hope before I got saved. Davey, when your dad wasn't saved, he had no hope at all. But now we do have it, bud. Aren't you glad we do? We got Ronnie, we got the peace of God, and the peace with God and peace of God. We got access to the throne of God. Then we got hope from God. Can anyone say amen? These are all from just being justified. Look at verse 4. And we can glory in tribulations. Number 4. We can glory in tribulations. Look at Romans chapter 5. And look at verse 3. And now he's sold, but we glory in tribulations. Also knowing that tribulations work with patience. Man. Don't turn to it. You can put a notation here. Genesis chapter 3, verse 16 through 19. When Adam and Eve sinned, God expelled him out of the Garden of Eden. He said, and God said, you're going to have sorrow. You're going to work in the sweat of your brow, thistles. And he said, man, from now on, the rest of your life and all the rest of man's life, they're going to have sorrow and problems. That's what he pronounced back there in Genesis 3 on Adam and Eve and all the generations to follow. Can anyone say amen? Now listen, the Lord told Adam and Eve they would have a life of sorrow and tribulations. And in this life, I guarantee you, I don't have to tell you, you've already known, we will face sorrow, heartaches, tribulations, setbacks, heartaches, sicknesses. Listen, Christians are not immune to the world's devices. We're susceptible just like everybody else. That one lady died just a few days ago. Died of cancer, never smoked a cigarette. The actor's wife, Reeves, and his dear wife, she never smoked a cigarette in her life and died of cancer. She was open to what all the diseases of the world. I'm not saying she was a Christian. I don't know if she was or not. I hope she was. But what I'm saying is, I don't care if the rain falls on the just and the unjust alike. The sun rises and sets on the saved and the lost alike. Don't think that God's mad at you if something goes wrong. Trust me, you live in a wrong world. you live in a bad world. You don't think there's a lot of diseases? Check the stock market. There's thousands of stocks just for health, for trying to come up with a cure for diseases. I noted this. Praise God, we know one day we're going to be removed from all these things that beset us now. Plus, God says those things, those tribulations that we face now, help us get patience for this life. Tribulations work for God in Christian's life for good. Look what it says there in verse 3. And tribulations, knowing that tribulations worketh patience. God's trying to teach us things. Well, He's still working on me. Usually, I'm the worst guy. God, give me patience and hurry up. Yeah, God, I'm praying for patience, and I want it right now. God, I want to control my temper and hurry up because I get mad when it don't happen right away. God, Roddy said, I'm good as long as somebody don't cross me. So Lord, help people not to cross me. Hello, anybody home? Do you know what it says there also? As you go through those tribulations, God's working in your life. And believe it or not, Steve Browning, as much as it broke my heart to hear a couple days ago that he has to have another surgery, God's going to keep making Steve a better Christian to it. Look at Romans 8:28. See, Sue, even though I'm not happy that Steve, God's going to work for good. Romans 8:28 says, for we know. Look how many got Romans 8:28. For we know. Is that what it says there? Romans 8:28. See, God wants us to know, Brother Jack. For we know that all things work together for good. To them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Is that what it says there? We know that all things, accidents, tickets. He's still working on Eddie Wilson. He hasn't learned yet. But slow down. Get patience and slow down. Still working on him. I'll try to give him another ticket. Maybe he'll learn. He ain't going to learn, Lord. I think he's going to go all the way to the rapture like that. All things work together for good. Trying to slow him down so he won't get killed in an accident going 100 miles an hour. Amen. All things work together for good. To them who love God. Two groups of people. They work for good for two groups of people. For those who love God and those who are called. Those ones to be saved in the future according to his purpose. How many see that? And so we need to understand many times things come into our life. Don't blame God. But God tries to do something with that situation. Even though he might not have wanted that situation to happen, he allowed it, and he's going to try to teach us something through that situation. For instance, if I got up and jumped off a 15-foot garage or house and broke my leg, you say, how would that work for good? Well, God would probably be teaching me, you know, it's better to use a ladder to come down than just try to save a couple minutes and jump. Is it God's fault that a guy jumped off without a ladder? No. Don't blame God for all these things. But in the midst of all this, was it God's fault that the doctor made a longer incision for Brother Steve than he was supposed to? No. But God will somehow try to get good from this. Hello. Maybe when we go to the hospital next time, because we're always there with them. Maybe me or Steve or Sue or one of the boys. Maybe we'll get to witness to somebody. Maybe we'll put a trap. Maybe God knows someone needs to be saved that we're going to come in their pathway. And that's, he says, Steve, we're going to get you over there in the hospital. You're going to get a little surgery again, but I'm going to get somebody saved. You're going to have a surgeon, but I'm going to be the surgeon for somebody else. You don't know what's going to happen. Amen? When we get to heaven, it'll all be past, and we'll say, praise God, it's behind us. Okay. I hope you're getting what I'm trying to show you tonight. Praise God, we know the day we are going to be removed from all these things and that beset us now, but plus, praise God, we get, even through going through those tribulations, God teaches us patience and helps something good come from. Then lastly, look at number five. Look at number five, verse five. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. He's given to you the very moment you trusted Christ as your Savior. The very moment you asked Christ to save you, you got the Holy Spirit of God, and you got all of them. You don't have to pray through. You don't have to hope against. You can put the scripture right next to it. Put down 1 Corinthians 12:13. 1 Corinthians 12:13 says this: "For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentile, bond or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit." That's not talking about water baptism. It's talking about the baptism of the Spirit of God. When you get saved, that very moment, the scripture says in Colossians that God made an operation on you, a circumcision made without hands. Can anyone say amen? And so you have a spiritual baptism from God. He puts the Holy Spirit on you, in within you, and you have that to the day of the rapture. Now notice, in verse 5, it teaches we get some things from verse 5. We got, well, justification. From justification, number one, we get faith. Because faith is what justifies us in Christ. Amen? Verse 2 and 4, we get hope. Verse 5, we get love. And the reason we get love is because the Holy Spirit of God comes in us. And God is love. And the Holy Spirit is God. The Spirit. So, look up here. See, there's no way for man within himself to have real love. Real love comes from God. And when he put the Spirit of God in us, we have the capabilities of having real love, because it's not me loving, it's the Spirit of God loving through us. And so we need to share that love. Those three things that we get, we need to share those things that God give with us, with others. Let's share the love of Christ. Let's share the joy. Let's share our faith. Let's share our hope. Amen? These are some things that God gave us. And maybe there'll be another day, but in Romans 6 through 10, that's the but God message. In Romans 6, let me just show you. I'll just show you. I won't preach. I'll just give you a little outline. There's from verse 6 to verse 10, there's four things you were before you got saved. In verse 6, you'll see, look at verse 6. You were, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet preadventure. No, for look at verse 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Four things you were before you got saved. Verse 6, you were without strength, you were ungodly. How many see that? There's two of them there. Verse 8, but God commends his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We were ungodly, we were without strength, we were sinners. Look at verse 10. For if we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son. We were enemies. Sean, four things you and I were before we got saved. We were without strength, we were ungodly, we were sinners, and we were enemies of God. Yet, he still loved us. And verse 7 says that for scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet preadventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. Who would die for you? We're not good. There's none good, no, not one. So Bobby, you look throughout the whole universe, nobody will die for us. Dale, because all of sin, there's none good, none righteous. We're ungodly. We're without strength. We can't do it for ourselves. We're sinners and we're enemies. So the whole human race stands before God, before God Almighty, and they stand guilty without hope. Because they're without strength, ungodly, sinners, and enemies. And verse 7 says, no one could die for them, and no one would die for them. And then God opens up the windows of heaven. In verse 8, Romans 5:8 is such a great verse when you know what verse 7, 6 through 10 teaches you. But God, even though you were without strength, but God, even though you were without, but God, even though you were ungodly, but God, even though you were a sinner, but God, even though you're an enemy, but God, even though no one would, but God, even though no one could, but God commended his love towards us, in that while we are sinners, Christ died for us. Hallelujah. That's what you get when you get justified. That's some good stuff. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, thank you for the time we had in our Bible study. Lord, I just love that wonderful scripture that you gave us. I pray that we'll have rejoice in the things of God. And Lord, I no doubt some of these folks are facing a lot of heartaches. Some are facing some financial troubles. Some are facing some health problems. Some are just facing discouragement and loneliness and disappointment. Lord, some are just facing things of uncertainty. Please, please, Lord, help each one of these folks. You know what they need. Father, you know all our members. You know us from the sole of our foot to the top of our head. Lord, please help each one here tonight. I wonder, before we leave, and I want to pray for you, maybe you have a special request. Just say, Pastor, I have an unspoken request. God knows it. Would you pray for me? Yes, 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 ma'am, yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. I saw that. God bless you. Yes, ma'am. I see that. God bless your heart. Preacher, include me in that prayer. There's something that I need to know from God. Heavenly Father, I pray with all my heart that you'd be with every one of these that raised their hand. Some might have wanted to raise but didn't, or maybe they didn't understand what preacher was saying. But Lord, I pray that you'll be with each one. God, encourage each one. Lord, be close to each one. Lift them up. Give them the joy of their salvation. Give them the confidence of their salvation. Lord, help them know one day, the better days, a brighter day's coming. And help them to hold on to that day. Help them ever to look to you and draw strength from you and comfort. And Lord, guide them and direct them in all their ways. And help them provide for them. And Father, if there be any here that's ever trusted you as Savior, I wonder why we're still praying. Would there be any say tonight, Pastor, I don't know if I died, I'd go to heaven. Preacher, I don't know if I die, if I'd go to heaven. I want to know when I die, I'd go to heaven. Would you pray for me? Anyone, just raise your hand. Pastor, I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. Pray for me. Anyone like that tonight? Pray for me. I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. Father, if there be any tonight, man or woman, boy or girl, that would know not you as Savior, help them know that Christ loves them and died for their sins, shed his blood on the cross of Calvary, and the third day arose just like he said he would, that he's risen, reigning, real, and one day to return. Father, I pray that you'll bless each one tonight. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.